The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We're joined now by Paul McLoon, not just presenter of the Paul McLoon Show on Today FM.
As if that weren't enough.
But lead singer with the Undertones as well. And the reason why we have him, of course, if you've been listening since early morning, this is Today FM's Live for Irish Music Day. We've been playing only Irish music since 5 a.m. We've had performances from the likes of Gavin James, The Academic, Paddy Casey, Brezzy, Cathy Davey, Josh Gray, Somebody's Child, live. Paul McLoon, it actually struck me, if you were in a Birmingham radio station or something like that, you wouldn't be able to do a day like this, would you?
No, and I don't think really, you know, we just in this country, I think, have such a particular relationship with music and radio. So bringing the two together like this makes perfect sense here, but possibly wouldn't work anywhere else. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What are your own particular favourites of the stuff we've been playing today?
Well, you know, it may surprise people who are fans of the show to learn this, but I actually like a lot of the contemporary kind of more commercial Irish pop
music. Keeps you young, does it?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but I do moisturise. But yeah, I mean, it's all good, you know, and it's great to see acts like, you know, Gavin and Hozier, for instance, who's huge. I mean, he's one of the biggest acts in the world now, you know, and it may not be music I would play wall to wall personally, but I have a certain affection for a lot of it.
You're not falling into the trap of old fellas, are you?
No.
The disdainful of the music when brought together by the younger generations.
Well, you see, I never was. And even when I was young, if I can remember back that far, I tried not to be too regimented in, you know, you can't like this because you like that. And if you like that, you can't like this. You know, I've never fully understood that in people. And people do get very funny about music. You know, for instance, when I'm like, for instance, I'm doing the Friday night anthems tonight, which is way out of my normal comfort zone, to use that phrase. But I'm perfectly comfortable in it. You know, I like pop music. I like popular stuff. I like mainstream stuff. I just happen not
Hang
to play on. It on my
Do
show.
Do you not draw the line at the likes of Westlife and Boyzone, who
yes.
became the big Irish? No, and I say that like Keith Duffy's a mate of mine and the rest of it.
I know Keith as well. He's a lovely guy.
He's
but
a lovely
yeah.
fella. But I wouldn't go and see Boyzone play necessarily,
no.
And I certainly won't be going to see Westlife in Croke Park.
No, and I wouldn't categorise that as what I'm actually speaking about. I mean, I'm talking about more singer-songwriters and bands who, you know, write their own material and play their own material. The boy band thing is a separate category completely, not just here, but in pop music in general.
And it's not really music at all, is it?
I wouldn't go that far. It's not to my taste. let's not start a war.
Let's pick
on
one
this
of those,
happiest of days.
Let's pick one of the things that you are really like modern. Fontaine's DC.
Yes, fantastic band, Dublin band.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. They have a certain, sorry to use somewhat coarse language, but there's a bit of piss and vinegar about them that I think has been absent in a lot of rock music over the last few years. And these things go in cycles and they come in waves. And it's great to see Fontaines and a few other bands as well having that, just that wee bit of attitude, righteous indignation, anger, whatever you want to call it, youthful rebellion about them. But they do it in a very literary and lyrical way. The lyrics are very interesting and there's a lot going on with them, and musically they can back it up. I mean, they really punch their weight musically, so they're just they're the entire package for me. And live, they just have so much presence and charisma, and they really put the message across. I think they're a fantastic band. They're going to be massive.
Okay, we're not playing full tracks, but let's hear a snatch of Too Real.
No, can't pull the passion loose from you, so grateful hands as it stands. I'm about to make a lot of money, gold hands in the pan. No, can't revolutionally with selfish needs aside. As I cry, I'm about to make a lot of money, gold hats on the side. Is it too real for ya? Is it too real for ya? Is it too real for ya? Is it too real? The winter even settles down, the bruised and beat up open sky. 6 o'clock, the city in its final dress. And now a busty shower wraps the grimy straps of where the leaves all about your feet. And then the ringing of a twitching hand. 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Is there an element of throwback in that, almost like sort of the alternative stuff of the late 70s, early 80s?
Absolutely. They are coming from that, I guess, loosely what the people call the post-punk kind of template. But they've got their own spin on it. And I think if you actually listen, it's very layered. I mean, there's Green chatting with these incredible sort of spat out kind of lyrics and excoriating kind of delivery. But then there's a lot of real subtlety going on with those guitars and a lot of power in that rhythm section. And I just think it does echo a lot of the bands that came up out of the immediate aftermath of the punk thing. But I think they've brought enough of their own qualities to it, particularly that literary quality in the lyrics.
But that's where you came from, really, isn't it?
Yes.
That was your era.
Yes. Hello, Dad. Yeah. Very much so in my upbringing, yeah.
Although
yeah.
You were only a little fella in Nipper when the Undertones hit it big. You're about how many years younger than the rest of the lads in the Undertones?
Well, there's a bit of a spread of age, but the youngest, the baby of the band up until I joined was Damien. He'd maybe be about, well, Damien was very young when the Undertones signed, of course, but he's maybe 5 years older, 5 or 6 years older than me, yeah.
Okay. I think we have Jimmy. This would have been the original singer in the Undertones.
Mr. Probably. Shockey.
Paul, I was watching a recent BBC 4 documentary on the Undertones. Can't remember the name of it was. It was only on a couple of weeks ago. I was actually fascinated by it for all sorts of reasons. But one of the things that I suppose didn't really strike me until I heard it was one of the reasons that the Undertones were so successful was it wasn't a political band. It wasn't singing about the desperate situation that you would have had in Derry in the north of Ireland at the time.
Yeah.
It was the sort of the humdrum issues for all adolescent boys and girls and slightly older, and that was the appeal.
Yeah, and in the context of it, I mean, we won't, let's not labour the point about how grim things were in Derry at the time, but they were pretty grim. They were very grim. And I think there was a certain escapism almost in concentrating on the very mundane things of, you know, trying to get a girlfriend or whatever, or splitting up with a girlfriend. There was a certain escapism in just looking at that and addressing that and kind of holding it up and finding a kind of a commonality with other teenagers just in the general teenage experience and kind of lifting that away from being dragged down under the morass of the very, very difficult situation that was, you know, the backdrop to those songs being written. Although later on, certainly, John particularly and Damien, the O'Neill brothers, did begin to obliquely address it and then went on to do so much more directly with that Petrol Emotion, of course, but that's another
story. Which was another great, great band. Yeah. But it is fascinating how well the Undertone songs have aged. Is it possibly because almost the simplicity of them?
Yes, I think it's the simplicity and also the... There's something very vital about bands who work imaginatively within their limitations, put it that way. That was a very punk thing. You know, you didn't try to really overreach in terms of what you could do, but keeping it simple, deceptively simple, but actually very, very clever. If you take a song like You've Got My Number, Why Don't You Use It, and listen to the amount of riffs on that. John, who wrote it, could have got four songs out of that. He put all these riffs in one. But they were sticking very much in the zone of what they could do and developing that just very incrementally over time. And if you take all those singles that they made, and it is a great run of singles, you can hear a band progress from one track to the next, from one song to the next. Very similar in a way how you can hear the Beatles do the same thing in the 60s. They just get better, but it's very incremental. Their horizons are expanding as they go along and they're embracing that and they're taking in more influences and they're getting a little more I guess, intricate or whatever as they go along, but they're not forcing it. They're growing at their own pace, but it's quite a quick pace.
But I was just working out, you're about hitting your 20th anniversary, I've been with the
Undertones. Yes, I am. Very good, yes.
And the band is how many years old now at this stage? Is it 40 years old nearly?
Well, it's actually about getting on for 45 because the lads started very young. I mean, they were incredibly young when they started, very much in their teens. And when they kicked off, they were probably not old enough to be in the pubs they were playing in, but they were playing in them, particularly a bar called the Casbah in Derry, long gone. And, you know, that's where they cut their teeth. So they were at that for a good 3 or 4 years before they started getting serious and writing more songs and obviously getting the record deal and getting on top of the pops. So, you know, they'd kind of served their apprenticeship, if you like.
Okay, what was it like for you stepping into the shoes of Fergal Sharkey?
Daunting, but it was only ever meant to be for one night. In November, 20 years ago, it'll be 20 years this November, a place called the Nerve Centre in Derry, which is still there and still doing great stuff, great work. It's a kind of a multimedia centre, training centre and a venue, very much kind of focused around the creative arts. And it was launching and the Undertones were asked to reform and play. And it was only ever meant to be one night, and then that became two nights, and don't ask me why, but for some reason it just kept going, and
why did they ask you?
Well, that's a really good question.
That's not meant in any pejorative sense,
yeah,
Paul. You know,
everybody else said no. They asked me because I was in a band with Billy. Billy and I were friends. Billy's the drummer, the very great drummer in the Undertones, who you've just heard on Jimmy, and he suggested me. I also knew Michael Bradley, the bass player, because I used to work at the BBC, believe it or not. And Michael still works there. And I knew John just from being around the Derry music scene. So I kind of knew a few of them. And I think they just thought, well, we know him and he can sing a bit and he won't, you know, he won't get in the way. And
well, just because were you required to be almost, and I'm not being pejorative in saying this, I'd be a karaoke version of Fergal Sharkey. Are we allowed to put your own stamp as a singer and as a frontman on the songs?
Very much the latter. And, you know, it was pretty unspoken condition that it would have to be that way from my point of view. All due respect to Fergal, he's a tremendous, tremendous vocalist and a great frontman. But if I went up there to ape him, per se, it just wouldn't have worked. But I rationalised it to an extent because Fergal never wrote the songs, you see. So I sort of felt like it was legitimate enough. If it was a case of, for instance, just to make a stupid comparison, but if it was a case of Morrissey leaving the Smiths and they'd asked me to step in there, I wouldn't have done it because that was just ridiculous because he was so much part of the creative force of the band. It just would have been a very flimsy facsimile of a much better thing. Whereas with Fergal, who didn't write the songs, he merely interpreted them his own unique and brilliant way. I found the space to be able to do the same thing myself. And that's really what's made it work, I think.
You've given me a list of Irish songs we can talk about. I'm actually almost as interested by the likes of those that you haven't included. No U2, no Thin Lizzy, no Rory Gallagher.
Oh my God.
No Van Morrison.
They're all on the show tonight.
They're all on the show tonight.
Absolutely.
But you've gone for things like Something Happens, A House, Sultan's a Ping.
Yeah.
And the Cranberries. Why so?
Well, I just think that was a particularly interesting thing. Nothing against those other bands that you mentioned and other artists. They're all actually tremendous, tremendous artists and tremendous contributors to the phenomenon of Irish music. But I guess it's an experience thing. I was kind of growing up or growing into adulthood more with bands around the 1980s and the early part of the 90s. And I think there was a real originality in Irish music then, which is starting to re-emerge with bands like Fontaines, as I was talking about earlier on just a couple of minutes ago. I just loved the fact that they were very distinct bands. Like Sultan's a Ping were a completely different sounding band to A House. Yet they were both making great music, great records. They had a tremendous energy and a real sense of mischief and intelligence about it. I just thought it was a great time for Irish music. But, you know, the debt has to be acknowledged too. Principally U2, for kicking open the doors for Irish music at that time in the night. Okay, we'd had Thin Lizzy, we'd had Van Morrison, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of, shall we say, record company interest in music coming out of Ireland. U2 did change that. And, you know, for a period, it seemed that all one had to do was be caught walking down, you know, Grafton Street with a banjo and some A&R guy would be waving a checkbook at you. Didn't happen for my band, but, you know, it happened for loads of others. And in many cases, rightly so, because they were tremendously talented and brilliant bands. So I just have very fond memories of that time in Irish music. And I'm getting the same feeling about a lot of the young rock bands coming up now.
Well, let's go memory lane. Let's go to Sultan's a Ping FC. Where's me jumper?
toffee. Dancing in the disco, bumper to bumper. Wait a minute. Where's me jumper? Where's me jumper? Where's me jumper? Where's me jumper?
Suddenly think a Cork version of Ian Dury and the Blackheads.
Blackheads. it's a Cork thing, like Stump as well. That kind of almost smart or dumb smart kind of lyricism. It's fun. It's kind of surreal and slightly, certainly in the case of Stump, more so, almost kind of Flann O'Brien kind of dadaist thing going on. I just love that silly. But not so silly, really, when you actually listen to it, lyricism that bands like Sultans of Ping had. It's just fun and it's kind of smart and it's lasted. I mean, the fact that we still play that record and still enjoy it, that's the ultimate test
and
of any song.
I suppose, again, isn't it been remarkable the reaction to the reforming of Micro Disney as well as another great Cork band?
And a very different style of lyricist and singer, but the brilliant Cathal Coughlan, incredible band. It's a shame they're not actually staying back. They've decided just to come back for a little while and then go away again.
Going away from Cork was a very important thing to Cathal Coughlan, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's always that two paths that before a band at a certain point. You know, funnily enough, the Undertones didn't do that. They didn't go and live in London. They very much made a point of staying and living in Derry, and arguably to the detriment of their career, but that was a choice that they made. I think it ultimately... a band, if it's going to develop and if it's going to go to the next level, it does have to get away from its surroundings just to get a perspective on the world, you know?
Okay, you mentioned that Petrol Emotion, Colin as well. The Fatima Mansions was another great Irish band.
Tremendous. And again, a similar kind of shift. Although Micro Disney were always pretty serious, but Fatima Mansions really weren't messing around. That was some pretty full-on kind of confrontation of the issues of the time. And yeah, all the better for it.
Okay. You've gone from a poppier tune. This is probably the poppiest one that we remember. Tom Dunn and Something Happens.
Parachute. Ah, bless him.
Great tune and all as it is. It's one of those tracks which Irish audiences loved but never really caught on outside of Ireland. There must be so many great songs over the years that have become massively popular here in Ireland and bands and never really travelled outside this island.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mystery sometimes, that one. I often wonder about that. Maybe it's because to really kind of in any territory, as managers and whatever would call them, you know, you got to do what U2 did, is just go there and just work it. You know, I mean, U2, to be fair, I think always had that, or at least pretty early doors, developed that vision of we see America as where we're going. We see America as the frontier. We are going there and we are going to keep going there until it starts working for us, you know, and that takes a... Yeah, that takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of commitment. And bands, I think, certainly back then, if you were going to do that, you really had to decide to go, leave home, work it. You know, as we were saying earlier on, it was kind of, you know, the necessary step. And maybe a lot of bands maybe just didn't do that enough.
Okay, we have to finish our public room. What time are you on this evening here at?
On from 9, Irish anthems all the way to midnight. There'll even be a bit of U2 and Thin Lizzy and Van Morrison and all those guys as well.
Paul McLoone, great having you here. Sorry we didn't have more time to talk. You can blame Brexit, as we had to give more time.
I blame
time
it for everything else.
Thanks very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.